Hello and welcome to Table Talk. Scott Porth and Brent Kuhlman with you today. Daring to be Lutheran. Imagine that.
That's a great time to do it.
Ah, a joyous Eastertide to all of you. A wonderful time to dare to be Lutheran. Of course, that's not limited by seasons. It's just a great way to live.
Yeah, you're right. This Sunday, the Holy Gospel is just so delicious. We're going to have to, if you don't mind, Scott, let's just take a dip. Let's dip our toes into John 20, shall
we? Let's do that, because it just really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, we could be talking about the heart of the Reformation here. We're just really talking about the heart of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a Lutheran thing. This is a Christ thing.
Yeah, we would pay, well, let's put it this way. We would do well to pay attention to our Lord and his mandate and institution words here in John 20, especially the one who's died and has now risen from the dead. Better listen to him.
So this is the gospel reading appointed for the second Sunday of Easter in the three-year series. And John 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, what did he say?
Well, he said peace.
What did they expect him to say?
Well, what would you expect?
Let's go on and then we'll come back to
okay,
that.
Well, that's fine.
There's a purpose for that pause. It's like the child when dad walks in. What's he going to say?
Yeah, my mom would say when I got in trouble, you wait till your dad gets home. And then I was in fear the whole day.
And then he was locked behind doors for fear of dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So Jesus, he stands among them and he says, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.
All right, so yeah, this is where we're dipping our toes into the Holy Gospel for the second Sunday after Easter.
Right.
And this is the mandate and institution of our Lord of forgiving sins or not forgiving sins. Or the way Jesus puts it, Matthew's account, which we've covered, Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, the office of the keys, binding or loosing, locking or unlocking. So that's that.
Peace or no peace.
Right. That's a good way to say it. Because with the peace that he speaks, this is more than just a good evening or good morning, boys. He changes it. He freights it differently than it's ever been freighted before in the history of the world, mm-hmm. which is when he says peace to these sinners, and they are sinners, he forgives them. So back to your question, you know, what would you expect Jesus to say when he shows up? Well, you would expect retribution. You would expect justice, payback. Because Peter had denied Jesus, the rest of them had fled. You know, when Good Friday rolls around, they run away. They don't want to be seen with this Jesus who suffers and who's going to die. Good grief, I don't want to be part of this. If this is what it means for him to be the Messiah, I'm not so sure about this anymore. Hey, I'm going to stay far away as possible from this. And keep in mind, you know, Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll even die for you.
And they all said the same thing.
Yes. Thank you for pointing that out. Because that's usually forgotten.
Right. So all of them are Peter-like there.
And so are we.
Yes.
Because seriously, we do the same thing. Oh, when push comes to shove, I'd never deny Jesus. Well, where were you then on Good Friday? Where were all the people on Good Friday?
Right.
Where were all the people over Easter weekend? Well, it was a holiday. That's what it was. See, this is what I'm talking about here. It's similar but yet different. Okay, of not wanting to be seen with Jesus.
Right.
The disciples actually there, seeing him get arrested in the garden, put on trial, beaten to a bloody pulp. I mean, can you imagine how shocking this is? And then finally nailed to a cross as a capital criminal. Now, that's one thing. It's another thing for us who didn't see that with our eyes, but have been told this story that this was all done for you and for your salvation. And what do we do when the most important day of the history of the world comes around every year. Where is everybody? Well, it's a holiday.
Right.
Or we just work as normal. Or we just blow it off. Well, that's my point. Peter says, I'd never deny you. I'd even die for you. And they all said the same thing. So do we. All of us do that. Because where are we on Good Friday? We're no shows.
Right. As far away from that gory scene as we can possibly get.
Yeah. So back to John 20 then. So then all of a sudden, we who've all sinned against Jesus so grievously, I mean, we've hurt him horribly. And you know how the world works. When you hurt somebody, they hurt you back. And that's what you would expect when all of a sudden, without knocking on the door, when just showing up.
When you least expect it.
He's
right?
Like, he's Aslan, you know. This is the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe stories.
Yep.
The Narnia stories, I should say, where Aslan just shows up without even asking, and all of a sudden he's there. So here you have Jesus, and you would expect him to do what? All right, now I'm going to get you guys.
Right, I gave you a chance. I was with you 3 years. You should have known better. The whole nine yards.
That's what I would have done.
Lay into him.
That's what I would have done. But what does he do? He says,
"You're fired. You're fired. You guys can't. You're not worthy to be my disciples."
Yeah.
I'm going to find new and better. Although he could look the world over. And all he'd find would be a bunch of Peters and the 12.
And Scots and Brents.
And us. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, yeah, so back to peace. I said that this is more than just a good evening or good morning like it normally was. But when Jesus says, peace be with you, this is an absolution. He freights it differently than just a good morning. I hope that makes sense for everybody.
Well, and Brent, you know, earlier in John's gospel, when Jesus is with the disciples in the upper room, he speaks of peace there as well. You know, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives.
Ah, yes.
And so he really, I think, is building on that peace as well.
Once again, what
does that mean, that I leave my peace with you? And once again, like so many things, before his death and resurrection, they don't get what it means. But now Jesus, the resurrected Christ, is preaching and teaching the kingdom to them. He's now getting very specific of what his peace is.
Yeah. And that's so helpful, because not only are the disciples who are in that room, and as you mentioned from the text, it's locked. And why do they have the doors locked? Because they're afraid. They killed him, they'll kill us too. So we can't even after he's dead, we've got to hide because they'll come and get us.
Right.
So they're afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of his enemies who killed him. And then all of a sudden he shows up and then he says, peace be with you, which is, I'm here to forgive you. So notice what Jesus does. He follows exactly his own words in Matthew 18. When a brother sins against you, what do you go and do?
That's delicious.
You actually go and you show them. And so there you have. The one who's been sinned against actually shows up. And what's he there for? To win the brother. And he wins the brother by speaking his word of peace. And then what does he do? He shows them his hands and his side. And so when they see that, they're going to see the wounds of Good Friday, which actually gives the forgiveness, that won the forgiveness for them.
Right. In some respects, it's almost a law gospel preaching by showing them his hands and his side. The law in that showing them what their sin has done, and yet this flesh and blood is not dead, it is alive.
Yeah, and the blood that flowed from these wounds is the divine blood that only atones for your sin. So when he shows them his hands and his side, all of a sudden, now they're glad. The fear completely changes. They're glad when they saw the Lord. Why? Well, he's not our enemy.
Right.
Good grief, he's our friend, the way he's been our Savior and friend the whole time. Boy, we were wrong about this guy. Thank God. Thank God we were wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, this text is assigned for the second Sunday after Easter for a reason. Jesus on the cross wins and achieves the forgiveness of sins and salvation for everyone, all those who've sinned against him. And now, freshly risen from the dead, he now goes and distributes that forgiveness to his little church in Jerusalem. Now he wants that little church in Jerusalem to preach and give out that forgiveness as well. And so he speaks a second word of peace with them. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit. Now, I would submit that as Jesus speaks the words in the text, that's when he's breathing on them and giving them the Holy Spirit. Because his words, that's the Holy Spirit in life.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, in like we confess, you know, the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We have the procession of the Holy Spirit from Father, Son,
yeah.
and now spoken out onto the disciples.
Yeah, for the sake of giving the very benefits of Christ's Good Friday death to sinners. As Jesus said would happen earlier in John's Gospel, in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus says, you know, the Spirit will give witness to me, he will bring glory to me, he will take from what is mine, and he will make it known to you. And that's what's happening here. But as Jesus gives this forgiveness, this Good Friday forgiveness to his little church in Jerusalem, so now then, he not only institutes, again, the office of the keys, if you will, but he also institutes the office of the holy ministry. As the Father has sent me, so now I sent you. Apostolic ministry is to be sent with what? With a word from the Lord. You tell people that their sins are forgiven. If they don't want to be forgiven, you tell them they're not. And that's Matthew 16 and Matthew 18,
right.
Office of the keys.
And this is in the way of the third article of the Creed as well. And once again, you know, the Father sends the Son with his Good Friday death and resurrection, and now the sending out of the apostles, the giving of the Holy Spirit, and what's at the core of that? The forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
And so where the forgiveness of sins is preached, then there is the resurrection of the body
yeah.
and the life everlasting. So you just have that whole flow going on here too.
Right. We learn again from this text how important things are according to our Lord's mandate and institution, according to his word. And what is that? That sinners are to be forgiven. They are to hear and receive the very forgiveness that he won for them on the cross, which tells us then what the office of the ministry is all about and what the church is all about. First, the office of the ministry and men who are put into it, and only certain qualified men, they are given to be servants. And I want to say, how much time do I have?
2.5 minutes.
Well, I'll try and do this real quickly. We need to teach young men, or even second career and older men, that if they want to be a pastor because they want to have self-fulfillment and reach some kind of potential in their life, or be selfish. You know, a lot of people say, well, I want to do a certain job because it will bring me fulfillment. If that's why you want to get in the ministry, get out, because you'll be a bad pastor. And if your pastor's out there and you're listening to this, well, I hope this is helpful for you. If you're a pastor simply for the sake of feeling good and getting kudos all the time about what a wonderful man of God you are, I got news for you. The office of the ministry is not for that. It is for the sake of serving other people. You're not the issue, guys.
Rather than the fulfillment, the fulfillment of self, it's the emptying of self.
Yes, yes, yes. So the pastoral ministry is for the sake of serving on behalf of Christ according to his mandate and institution, for the sake of serving sinners with the forgiveness of sins. That then helps us understand what church is all about. That's why you go to church, to confess that you're a sinner, and therefore then receive the gifts of forgiveness that Jesus gives it in a spoken word of absolution here in John 20. That's why the Small Catechism quotes this text. It's a front-runner, bottom-line, ABC fundamental text on the office of the keys.
Yeah, and so these, you know, these institutive words of Jesus, you know, right up there with his institution of the Lord's Supper on the night in which he was betrayed, the institution of holy baptism at the end of Matthew's gospel, all of these here, once again, centered in the forgiveness of sins. So folks, a joyous Eastertide to you. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, and when we come back, we'll continue to dare to be Lutheran.